But I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off right now and expose where the real problem lies in the fire service. And that's when we come into the firehouse and we throw our brothers and sisters under the bus. And we stab each other in the back. And we take that knife out, we stab the next firefighter.
This is Code 3, the Firefighters Podcast, hosted by award-winning journalist Scott Orr. Now, here's Scott.
That's right, and I will not let Parkinson stop me. Thank you for joining me for another edition of Code 3. You are listening to the show for and about firefighters. Give me about 20 minutes and I'll give you a topic to think about. One guest, one topic, no wasted time. Now let's get started. You ever walk into that firehouse? You know the one. The crew is burnt out. They've given up on morale. But my guest today argues that if your station's culture is toxic, you shouldn't be looking at the fire chief for help. You should be looking in the mirror for solutions to your problems. Yep, the most powerful person in the department isn't the one with the bugles on their collar. It's the company officer sitting at the kitchen table. Dr. Candace Ashby is a battalion chief with the Indianapolis Fire Department. She holds a PhD in organizational leadership. She is the creator of Leadership from the Bottom Up, a no-nonsense approach that challenges firefighters to stop playing the blame game and start taking ownership of their department. She joins me today to talk about why we need to stop waiting for permission to lead, how to turn bitterness into betterment, and why the future of the fire service depends on the men and women riding the engines. Dr. Shen Sashby, welcome to Code 3.
Thank you, and I appreciate the invite.
It's good to have you here. We often hear that leadership starts at the top. That's the typical way it's explained. Your philosophy flips that on its head and says leadership from the bottom up. Can you explain why this works and why you think that the top-down model doesn't work?
Yeah, it's not that the top-down model doesn't work. It's not. I believe the reason that I have leadership from the bottom up is because we are all conditioned to believe in a paramilitary top-down organizational structure that all the power rests at the top of the organization. And the way that when I started this class and called it leadership from the bottom up is because the people that are at the top of the organization originally were at the bottom. So the people at the top come from the people at the bottom. And so my philosophy is if you don't like the top, then I hope you do, but if you don't, what are we doing to change it? Because every single day that we walk into the firehouse, we are mentoring the future lieutenants, the future captains, the future chiefs. So if we change the bottom, we will eventually change the top and get people in positions that will actually listen to us. A lot of the frustrations that we have now, the disconnect that I feel that is going on between the administration and the operations level, that we can start to solve that to move the organization forward. But we have to understand where we can really make the biggest impact in the fire service. And I believe that to be at the bottom.
You're well known for saying that firefighters need to, quote, stop waiting for the chief to fix their problems. What's wrong with waiting for that and what should they be doing instead?
Well, I believe that the fire chief in the administration is entirely too busy to deal with the day-to-day issues. I also, at the same time, believe that the problems should be taken care of at the lowest level. Why in the world would we want them to gravitate to the top? Because how are the top typically going to solve our problems? It's with paperwork or suspensions or things that we don't want that's going to absolutely aggravate us.
More new rules.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's have another policy and an ever-growing policy manual that none of us want to read. Why can't we start taking care of the problems at the lowest level? Because where did the training come from? And the people, when you look at all the layers, and we specifically talking about organizational leaders or supervisors, the management team, you got lieutenants, captains, chiefs, all the way up to the fire chief. Well, I believe the issues that we have is a fundamental training issue because we're not receiving the right training that we need to be successful. That being said, if we don't take care of the problems at the bottom and we let that gravitate, where is the fire chief going to come out and just solve all the problems? And when we do that, that actually amplifies the micromanagement that all of us have a disdain for. So why ever let it get to that level when we need to do that at the bottom of the organization and keep things from rising to the top? But yeah, I think the administrations, I've never been in an administration, and I do not hide that fact. I've always been on the street. All 35 of my career years has been on the street. But I'm very frustrated because I don't think the people at the top take time to listen to us on the street. And I think that's part of the disconnect. And I used to say they forgot where they came from. And then as I more or less looked at it from a more critical thinking perspective, I see the people at the top don't have enough time in the day. They take these positions and they go in there well-intended to make a positive spin in the organization. And they get there and they find out this is not a Monday through Friday, 8-to-5 job. It doesn't end at 8 hours a day. These guys are putting in 10, 12, 14, 16 hour days. It's not 5 days a week. It's 6, 7, sometimes even 8 days a week. And they can't ever turn it off because they're tethered to a cell phone. They are so busy because there's just two or three of them running a multi-million dollar organization that in itself has led to the disconnect of us on the street. It's not that they forgot where they came from. They just don't have enough time that they devote to the people on the street. And that's where the disconnect lies. And I would like to see that get better as we go forward. But we have to put a different perspective on it, because the perspective that we've had all these years, how's it working out for us? Because we're continuing the same cycle every day, day in and day out. At some point, we have to break the cycle.
I'll be back with more right after this. Stay with us. You know the fire service is a tight-knit community, so why advertise anywhere else? On the Code 3 podcast, you are speaking directly to firefighters, the people who actually buy your product or use your service. It's laser-focused, effective, and surprisingly affordable. It's the perfect way to reach the customers you're looking for. Let's get your message heard. Drop me an email, scott@code3podcast.com, and I'll get your message on the air. Okay, so how do we lead from the bottom without giving the impression that we're going rogue or subverting authority?
Well, I believe that's where all the power lies, is in the bottom of the organization, meaning I believe company officers are more powerful than any fire chief in this entire country, because the company officer has the power to walk into a firehouse. And if there's a negative naysayer sitting there at the table running their mouth of how terrible everything is, the company officer can come in and shut that down if they want to. On the other hand, they come in and set the tone of that firehouse every single day. And what tone are they setting? Now, when the people take my class, I draw a pyramid, and I put the people at the top and put the people at the bottom to show there's more people at the bottom than there is the top. And the thing is we have to understand fundamentally where the problems lie. And we're trained to believe that the problems rest at the top of the organization, leading most firefighters to believe, just change out the top and everything's going to get better. And if you're in the fire service long enough, you're going to know you're going to work for more than one fire chief, typically, but change out the clown, the circus stays the same until we change the circus. And we all hold the power to do that. We don't train our firefighters in organizational leadership on how to move that organization forward, meaning every single person in the fire department has to take ownership in that organization if we are going to leave it better than we found it. But right now, everybody just kind of sits back. The majority sit back and don't do anything at all. They wait for somebody else to do it. And we fall into the blame game. And then that affects the culture. And we have a culture by default. And when we have a blaming culture, it creates an us versus them mentality. And once that happens, the accountability is out the door. And that's why when I go around the country and I do organizational problem solving, there are the top six most common problems I hear from all kinds of fire departments, no matter if it's volunteer, combination, career. Here are the top six: a lack of communication, a lack of accountability, a lack of direction, a lack of good quality policies and procedures, a lack of hands-on training, because we're all tired of training behind a computer, and a lack of leadership development for our company officers. And when I asked that in a crowd, does that sound familiar to you? Everybody's shaking their head, yes, absolutely. And the thing is I tell them, if you don't take anything else away from what I tell you, I need you to understand this concept. Everything that happens from the top to the bottom of the organization happens at the company level first. You have officers that can't talk to their people, officers that don't hold their people accountable, officers that don't set a direction. They wait for somebody else to do it for them. They don't read the policies and procedures except to get promoted. They're the ones that don't want to do the training. They don't do leadership development, because in our world, it is tradition to say, if you got 25 or 30 years on the job, well, I've taken that class 30 years ago. Why do I need to repeat it? Well, I took strategy and tactics in 1990. I'm a battalion chief in 2026. How good would I be if I never went out and continued my training and education in building construction, fire behavior? And yet I'm the one that has to make a split second decision to tell those guys to come out of that building before it collapses. And so we have to have this sponge of learning and training. And the older we get in the fire service, the less training and education we take, and we have that screwed up. And we need to reset everybody, understand fundamentally where the problems are. Now, I said the top six organizational issues, and we typically, and I'll stop here in just a second, but we typically believe that the fire chief and the administration are the problem. But I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off right now and expose where the real problem lies in the fire service. And that's when we come into the firehouse and we throw our brothers and sisters under the bus and we stab each other in the back and we take that knife out, we stab the next firefighter. And until we get that under control, we will not make our organization any better. If you don't like the top and the way they are, guess what? That is a product of the environment that you allowed to grow those type of people in there. So when do we change it and get people in positions for the right reasons and the right seats on the bus that understand how to connect with the entire organization?
So let's talk about that. You talk about transforming bitterness into betterment. So when you walk into a firehouse that's thick with cynicism and toxicity, what's the first step to turn the ship around?
Oh, I believe it has to come from the company officer and why they took that position. Because I've never seen an officer yet that was forced to be an officer. But they're the ones that say, pick me. I want to do this. I want to be a leader. I want my own crew. And they make a verbal contract that that's to hit the mission of the organization. But typically, they're the ones that fall after they get promoted into a level of complacency and that cynicism and that toxicity they allow to fester. When I teach my class, I talk about, I think there's a small percentage of people at the bottom of the organization that are negative naysayers. Something may have happened. They may have been browbeat by people that should have never got promoted or things like that. But it took their love of the job away and it hardened them. And I ask everybody when I'm teaching and presenting, like, what do you think that percentage looks like? And the number one answer I'm given is the 10%. And that's what I call the 10%. Now, the 10% are the ones that are really spreading the cancer through the organization. And if you're the 10%, you have to fix yourself. If you're not the 10%, that means you're the 90. We typically refer to the 90 as a silent majority. And what I'm trying to do is create a movement in which I tell the silent majority, it's time to stop being silent. And it's time to raise up and take ownership back of the fire service away from the 10%. And how they do that is by taking the audience away from the 10 and stop spreading the cancer. And I honestly believe they can spread the flames of passion just as much or more than the cancer can be spread, because behavior is contagious. So when you ask me, how do we go into a firehouse and turn it around? All you got to have, it starts with one person. And that one person can walk in there, and I've seen it with my own eyes, that people can walk in. It just amazes me how they can turn an entire station around. And I could see it the other way as well, where you have a good station and you take a 10%er and you put them in there, and it absolutely destroys them because of the attitude and because people are allowed to get by with it. And why are they allowed when there's an officer in charge? But where we really lose is when that 10% has rank. And then where's the next level boss? And why is the next level boss allowing that stuff to happen? And that's where the accountability comes into play.
Now, there's a lot of talk in the fire service about brotherhood and sisterhood. But you've mentioned that sometimes we use those terms to cover up bad behavior or lack of accountability. How can firefighters be better at holding each other accountable without feeling like they're betraying the family?
First off, we have to hold ourselves accountable. And, we have to govern our own behavior and understand, you know, why we do what we do. The case in point that I'll bring up is morale. We've been trained to believe that if we have a bad administration or a fire chief that we don't care for, then morale is traditionally low in an organization. But when we blame the morale on somebody else, all we are doing is making an excuse of why we're not happy. Intrinsically, nobody determines how happy you are, but you, every day your feet hit that floor. It's not on anybody else. And that it took me a long time to figure that in the fire service, because I used to do the same things. Why should I care? They don't care. Why should I do anything? They don't do anything. I'm so sick and tired of this and that. And it just put me in a very negative light. And I started spreading the toxicity. And the reason that I do this class is because I was the 10% for the first half of my career. And luckily, I got saved. And I come out of that 10%, and now I'm the 90. And that's why I come out and speak about it like this and say, stop. We have got to get a hold of ourselves. We have got to want better for our brothers and our sisters. We need to take these young kids today. Instead of blaming them for the brotherhood of yesteryear, we need to grab these young kids around the neck and say, this is what the fire service is supposed to be about, taking care of your brother on the right and the brother on the left. But where our brotherhood has suffered isn't from the administration, it's from each one of us. And we need to take an ownership in that and understand if we had enough people that wanted to walk into firehouse and be a better person every single day and not be a little turd, we could. That is the difference in brotherhood and being a backstabber. And every single day, each of us make a choice when we walk through the doors of that firehouse, whether or not we're going to be the best person that we can be. And when I say the best person, I'm talking about, you know, the traits of a good person: integrity, hardworking, positive, humility, you know, humble, just honorable. You know, these people, when you think of a good person, a truly good person in your life, I ask people, does it make you want to be a better human being by just being in these people's presence? And everybody's like, yeah, it does. That is leadership right there. It's not tied to a rank. It's not tied to anything. Anybody has the ability to be a leader. And all it starts with is being a decent human being. And when you're concentrating on that and the betterment of everybody around you, then you're not worried about throwing people under the bus or being jealous and insecure and the egotistical self-centeredness that attacks a few. And then we promote people. Not everybody should have got promoted. Not everybody should have got hired in the fire service. And it's high time that the majority of us see that and we start calling it out. And I think we can actually change the trajectory, and we certainly can change the narrative of the fire service if enough of us band together and do it and lock arms instead of competing with each other.
So you sound pretty optimistic about this, but what do you say to the firefighter who's burnt out, frustrated, feels like they've tried everything to improve their station but keeps hitting a wall? Is it time to transfer, or do they have another play?
Well, unfortunately, that's up to that individual to feel where they need to find their happiness. But for me, I've been there multiple times where, you know, at one point I was white knuckled in coming to work. I did not want to be there. I wanted to work to a means to an end. It seemed like I was that person. I tried everything. Nobody's listening. No, you know, and it's a sad place to be. And I have young kids come up to me today and say, what would you do if your officer doesn't want to train, or your officer doesn't want to do this or doesn't want to do that? And it breaks my heart because I don't know what to tell these kids, but this is what I do tell them. Now you have a good example of what not to become. And then get your butt in a promotional process and then turn it around so that we can get more good people out here. I tell the people that are frustrated, I don't get my way a lot. And I'm looked at as a problem child on certain things. But I am so driven to the 60 people under my command. I work for those 15 officers under my command, and I have their back no matter what. And I expect them to have the backs of their people as well. But I am, when I get mad about things that have happened, like I didn't get my way or something like that, I'm turning that internally to me, and I'm becoming a victim. And I have to stop, and I have to think about what happens when Candy Ashby gives up and says, hell with it, I don't want to do anything else. Who really suffers at that point? And who's going to suffer is my 60 people when I say, I don't want to do anything else. And I won't let that happen. So I have to turn my efforts toward my 60 people and know that what I'm doing is with the best effort to make them the best that I can make them and do it for the right reasons. There are times that I go to meetings and I ask for things or bring up suggestions and I get shut down. But I know that when I lay my head down at night, I did everything I could for my people. That's my level of satisfaction. And then if I don't get my way, I get up the next day and I fight another day, because that's the job I signed up to do as a battalion chief, is to have the backs of my people. And nothing is going to stop me or getting my way of doing that and making the best 15 officers I can make, and hope that they make their best firefighters that they can make. And we truly enjoy this job. And I know that I set that tone for that battalion. And so I walk in literally every day as the happiest person, because I want to work around happy people. But I also have very outspoken expectations that I want in my battalion, and things that I won't allow. And I have those boundaries that I painted, and I didn't do that early on as an officer. And that is the best thing an officer can do, any officer from a brand new one to an old one, is make sure they go in and paint those expectations down every day and say, hey, this is what me and my crew are going to look like on every single run when we get off that apparatus. And you sell that to your people. That's leadership. But you also at the same time have to be a boss and understand that as a parent, there's some of your kids that need to be loved and hugged. And there's another subset of your kids that need a freaking paddle. And it is up to the officer to deliver it. And I believe the 10%, there's mental issues out here today. Sure, there are. But I believe the majority of the 10% are nothing more than spoiled, rotten little brats that has never been with a strong enough officer for that officer to come in there and put their foot right square up their ass and say, not today, honey. Not on my engine, not on my ladder, not in my firehouse, not in my battalion. Are you going to continue to act like a turd? So what we need is better bosses. And in a social media-driven world, we have, we don't want managers. We want leaders. We don't want bosses. It's a negative connotation. We need leaders. And I believe it was with the best of intentions, but I believe the leadership movement in the last decade has led to the pussification of the American Fire Service, because it's led kids to believe that they have to be friends with everybody. You can't go in and hurt anybody's feelings. You got to make people want to come to work by being their friend and creating this happy place. No, that is not reality. What reality is when you see something that needs to be fixed because it's getting in the way of those results of making your people the best they can make them, you correct it and you move on. But what we have is a lot of people that don't want to admit that they don't know something. You know, that's humility. That's being humble. I don't know everything. I've been in the fire service a lot of years. I've seen a lot of things, but I've learned more at 35 years than I've ever learned. And we have officers out here that say, training's not my job. What the hell do they think their job is? It's the growth and development of everybody around them. It's not about them. It's about what they can do for everybody else. But they miss that, because we don't have the fundamental training to give them. It's like, where's the training in effective communication? Where's the training in the chain of command? That's one thing we screw up the most. Interpersonal relations, customer service, decision-making, critical thinking. Where are all these trainings at? Conflict management, project team management, which is AKA committees. We all fail at committee work, but we're not even trained in how to work in a committee. We're not trained in how to run a meeting. We're not trained in how to have a high-performing team. We're not training our officers how to be coaches and mentors and what the difference is. And when do we go for performance? You know, this is one thing I tell officers. All you've got to do is one thing to improve the performance of you and your crew. And that's be the first one to the truck when the tones drop, not the last. And we were all young once and we jump on, you know, put our gear on and jump on the back of that apparatus and our hearts are pounding and we're all excited. And then you watch some sloth walk to the apparatus like they could care less that a run just went out. How long is it going to take that officer to rip the enthusiasm out of that new kid? And who's the officer going to blame? The administration, everybody but themselves. So it is high time in 2026 that we all take ownership that we've all done wrong. And we've all done, you know, I don't like to admit it, but I've done my fair share of throwing my brothers and sisters under the bus and stabbing them in the back. I just choose not to do it any longer and try to come out and paint a fire service that we can be proud of, that we can build the brotherhood, we can build the passion, we can learn every single day, we can get better and better and better. You know, people ask me all the time, when am I going to retire? And I'm like, are you kidding? 35 years is just a warm-up. I want another 35 years in the fire service because this truly is the best job in the entire world. But how many people have we heard with over 25 or 30 years on the job say they want another 25 or 30? And we don't. And why don't we? Because they're burnt out. They're tired of the politics. They're tired of the fighting. You know, and if you think about it, that's all we do every single day is we fight amongst each other. Every shift thinks they're the greatest shift. Every station thinks they're the greatest station. The bottom fights with the top. Every shift fights with each other. You have one shift that don't fuel the apparatus. You have another shift that don't clean the house or pick up after themselves. You have another shift that they want to leave food in the pan and throw it in the refrigerator so they don't have to do the pan. And it's incredibly sad. And then all we do is blame everybody else for everything that's wrong when we need to be looking at inward at ourselves and understand that we are all the problem, but we are also the solution to the problem. And once we really, truly understand the difference that can be made, but we first have to change our perspective, we have to change our mindset, we have to understand where the real problems lie and what can we do, each of us can do to contribute to make that organization better. And understand, you may have people over you because not everybody should have been promoted that is wreaking havoc and they're not good people and they may be a micromanager or whatever. But you know what? There ain't a damn thing you're going to do about it at that moment in time. So you need to embrace the suck at that moment and train every single person around you to not be like that individual. And eventually we will erase those individuals and we'll put people in place that deserve to be there. At least that's my hope.
That's powerful stuff. Thanks for being with me today, Candace Ashby. We're glad to have you here.
And please, if there's anything I could ever do for anybody, don't hesitate to contact me. You can Google me, find me on Facebook. And I believe it doesn't matter what our patches say and what department we're at. I absolutely believe the more of us that come together, the stronger that we are.
Obviously, Candace knows wherever she speaks. She applies her own philosophy every day to the 60 firefighters she commands. If you'd like to learn more about leading from the bottom and the difference it can make, go to our website at code3podcast.com/leadingfromthebottom. Check it out. And if you like the show and you get useful information from it, then I've got two things to ask of you. First, go to your podcast app, rate and review the show. Good reviews and ratings tell other firefighters that the show is worth their time. And if you tell some other sisters and brothers in your firehouse about the podcast, I'd really appreciate it. Surveys show that word of mouth is the best way to get new people to join the audience. So tell your coworkers. Thanks. Join me next week when I'll be talking with Sean Duffy about survivable versus searchable space. Find out what the difference is and how it can help you save more lives.
The faster we can get people into buildings to not only put water on the fire, but to also search the areas, the better it is for everyone, including firefighters. Rather than having two people standing outside while two people are inside, if we have four people, put them to work.
That's next week on Code 3. And that's it. That's all for this edition of Code 3. Please join me next time for more. Until then, I'm Scott Orr. Stay safe.
To contact us, get more information on today's show, or to subscribe to the podcast, go to code3podcast.com.